Yeah, I should be preaching, really. My heart is always to encourage people, and this morning I really do still want to encourage you. And that's maybe a lead-in for you just to put your chin a little bit forward so Father God can just, in a very righteous, loving way, just maybe just nudges on our chins. And my passion really is that each one of us reaches our full potential in Christ. And you might think that that passion is there because I love you. And maybe I do. But that passion is there really not because of emotion, but because of logic. Because if you reach your full potential, that makes my world a better world. And if you reach your full potential in Christ, it makes the world better, doesn't it? So I really do believe Father God wants to encourage us today to reach our full potential. To go higher, deeper, broader, deeper, wider. The whole nine yards of that higher call that God has got on each of our lives individually and as a fellowship, as a y'all, as a corporate, as a family, as a tribe, as we've been talking about. And, you know, my title of my sermon today is There's No Progress Without Process. And I wish there was. I only know one hero. I did have heroes when I was a lad. Roger Hunt was one of my heroes, and Bill Shankly and people like that. And today's heroes are not even that good, and they weren't that good. Today's heroes are just different, and Jesus is my only hero. And I wish there was progress without process. And maybe there is in some senses of we can have serendipitous moments, woo, posh words for a Sunday, or epiphanies, bless you, and or revelation, or God just does something sometimes and we seem to make great strides forward. And maybe that's true. But in the general scheme of things, you know, there's no progress without process. And I think some of the testimony today has been confirming the word of the Lord, like he needs to be confirmed, but it encourages me at least. And if there's no progress without process, then we need to engage and commit to that process. I was thinking about this over the weeks, and have you ever seen those little fans from Asda in the summer, those little £1.50 fans? You know, there's a difference between RPM and torque. Does everybody know the difference? RPM, you know what that stands for? Revs per minute. But you know what torque is? I don't mean T-A-L-K. T-O-R-Q-U-E. When I was training as a diesel fitter, we had torque wrenches that were set for a certain amount of power to put on the cylinder head and on different nuts and bolts in an engine. Torque is the power of the motion in a turning way. I didn't put that very well, but there you go. I'm an engineer. Those fans, those handheld fans, can spin 6 to 10,000 times a minute. But you know, if you put your finger in that fan, what will happen?
Stop.
Nothing. It'll just stop. But if you get a propeller on an airplane doing the same revolutions per minute, you just don't go there, do you? So I really feel God saying today, it's not about what we do. It's about how we release the Holy Spirit through us. There's a difference between revs per minute and that torque, that power that is released in and through Jimmy Brown and Ormskirk Christian Fellowship. And just excuse me a minute while I get a bit carnal. Good morning, Mike's mum.
Yeah.
He asked me to say hello to her next time I spoke, so apparently she listens to the downcast pods when she's ironing. So I think breath of fresh air is a good saying, isn't it? Oh, you know, sometimes people have said to me, you've been a breath of fresh air today in my job or wherever. And that's okay, isn't it? But I want to be more than a breath of fresh air. I want Ormskirk Christian Fellowship to be more than just a breath of fresh air. Because I want us to give people elevation.
Yeah.
Because we could get 1,000, 1,000,000 of those fans and we could all hold a couple in our hands. We wouldn't take off at all. But just one man, one woman, believing the truth, attached to the power of the Holy Spirit, is going to take off. And that picture has been a little earworm in my ear for the last couple of weeks. So I want to bring elevation. There's a guy called Frederick Douglass who was a slave in the 1800s. And he said this, if there is no struggle, there is no progress. Yeah. Does anybody want to leave? Otherwise, buckle up, honestly. There is no progress without struggle. He ran away from slavery when he was 20 and ran to New York and met Lincoln and became a great orator. And while I was researching this whole phrase, there's no progress without process, you know, I think I'm anointed to stumble on things. Because I do stumble on these amazing quotes or amazing stories about people. And I came across this school. You know, I believe this is God. This was printed in on a website for a school in Utah, a kindergarten school, 5 to 13. Kindergarten kids, 5 to 13. And it's called the Wildman School of Discovery, which I love the title of as well, School of Discovery. And the executive director, her name's Cindy Phillips, said this. This was this coming September for the new year, for 5 to 13-year-olds, church. As the new school year begins, we embrace the principle that our students' growth and our growth as a community will necessitate struggle. Purposeful, continuous, and strategic struggle. We anticipate this process with great pleasure and also with commensurate gravity, knowing how much depends on it. I think that's quite staggering for a woman in Utah to write that bit of a precursor to the school year to 5 and 13-year-olds. I think that's quite mature. I think that in our day and age, in the culture that we live in, and sometimes the church culture, that's quite a deep saying, a deep paragraph. Our growth and the growth of our students and the growth of our community will necessitate struggle. Does anybody want to leave? It will necessitate struggle. Purposeful, continuous, and strategic struggle. She says, listen, we're the church. James 1 says, when you fall into, count it all joy, welcome them as friends. We don't get that part of the gospel anymore. But this woman, I couldn't find whether she was a Christian or not. I don't know what she is. But she got something in God. We anticipate the process with great pleasure and commensurate gravity, knowing how much depends on it. Do you get that? Knowing how much depends on it. I just feel like leaving that with you, but I want somebody to punch the air with me because that's what I feel on the inside. Because sometimes I want to escape the struggle. Sometimes I want the easy route. I was talking to Mark last week about him being in the army, and he was told basically the easy route's always the wrong route. Thereabouts. Might have misquoted him slightly, but... And he was really encouraging me of what I feel God's saying today. As a man, as a Christian, as a man who grew up and was socialized into doing just enough and getting away with it, I believe God's saying something to me and to this church that so much depends on our struggling purposefully, continuously, and strategically. Because that process will bring progress. Thanks, Dave. You know, Andrew Womack says you can say amen or oh me. And I think there might be some oh me's today rather than. The ultimate progress is to know him. Intimately. That is our ultimate progress. You know, these are the things that we get involved with, healing on the streets and moving to Spain and new job, new house, new car, new situation, relationship, whatever. It's all progress in the journey to the ultimate. The ultimate will always be to know him passionately and intimately. The immediate process is our choosing to be like him. In every circumstance and every situation, on a daily, moment-by-moment basis, there lies the rub. There's where the rubber hits the road. There's where we cut through the wire and we get to the thing where we want to hang on or let go. Because there is no progress without process. And the series that we're doing at the moment is, Paul said, imitate me like I imitate Christ. Genesis 1:26 says this. God said, thank you, worship team, whoever's left, who've not gone out, but you know, this morning was lovely. You know, I just, all creation singing praises to God. And that does it for God to some degree. But I felt God's this morning just looking at me like that, going, will you sing? Will you sing, Jim? And, you know, it thrills me, the personal nature of God. We're not a conglomerate, are we? We're a group of people who are together as body, but we're so individual, aren't we? And I stood there today, and my dad said to me, with no words, just a look and a beat of his heart, will you sing with all creation? Yeah. And really, do you know what? I don't think God's that bothered about all creation. Because the stones would cry if we don't. Yeah. But it's so personal today, isn't it? And I know the ultimate progress, the ultimate treasure, the ultimate goal, the ultimate satisfaction, the ultimate is to fall in love with him again and again, isn't it? The ultimate progress is that I might know him. And if we don't keep that before us, then we will let go of the wire when the process gets tough. Because he is, and I'm really encouraging you, just keep falling in love with Jesus. He's the only one who's going to keep us going. He is the only one who keeps me going. And so to be like him is to choose, no, to know him, progress, the process is to choose to be like him. Sorry, Genesis 1:26 says this. God said, that's where I was going, a bit personal. God said, let's make Jimmy Brown. See, that's what I do. God said, let's make this little fella. and he's going to, we'll plant him there in Bootle. And we'll drag him up and we'll grow him up. And when he's 22, he's going to know me. and when he's older, we're going to send him to OCF. God said, let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, make mankind in our image, after our likeness, and let them have complete authority, and so on and so forth. And if you read in Genesis, I think it's chapter 5, after the cataclysmic, after that enormous, dreadful event called the fall, it says that Adam was created in the image of God. And Adam had a son named Seth who was created in the image of Adam. And we then all are created in the image and likeness of Adam. And we talk about it sometimes in a very glib, light way that we've been made in the image and likeness of God. You know, when you look in a pram, a perambulator, you might call it a buggy these days, and you look in and you look at a baby and you say, he's the image of his dad, don't you? He's the image of his dad. It's not till he's about 5 or 6 and he's manifesting attitude and behavior that he say he's just like his dad. Is that right? And so that likeness now needs to be worked in and walked out. That potential of being like El Shaddai, Abba Father, Daddy God, is on the inside of us all and needs to be worked in and walked out. It needs to be manifest in our attitudes and actions. And that's where the process sometimes stings, doesn't it? Is it just me? Well, someone nod their heads as well as messages them saying amen. Do you get like that? Do you have days where you just want to let go of the wire? Yeah. When the process is just too much? Yeah. And you lose sight of the progress. Mm-hmm. Him and his approval and his smile. And we jump ship so many times. Maybe it is just me. Excuse me while I find my place. Philippians 3:10. Progress. Philippians 3:10. Paul said, imitate me like I imitate Christ. And if you're not going through stuff today, you will tomorrow. If you've not been through stuff yesterday, you will tomorrow. Is anybody going through stuff? If I had another hand, I'd put another hand up. I'm going through stuff. Is anybody? I just want to be real this morning that God's encouraging us to face him and stick with the process and commit with the process of going on with him, because we will win through. Amen. You only fail when you give up. Yeah, that's right. It gets very cliche, doesn't it? But I really want to. Jack was talking about encouragement. I know God's side is a foot. Do you? And I'm grateful for God's feet at my backside sometimes. Because sometimes I just act like an immature, spoiled, snotty-nosed kid from Bootlestill. And I want to encourage you all to really embrace and commit to the process today. Because that's where the power is. That's where the release of the Spirit is. That's where we'll be more than just handheld fans, and we will be propellers, and there will be thrust. There will be elevation, so that we will be elevated to those heavenly places, and nothing will get us down. All the teasing and the taunts of circumstance and situation and the devil, we will stand our ground where we should be before the throne of grace, ruling and reigning in Christ, and saying no. Because there'll be talk, there'll be elevation, and not only will we be elevated, that's when there's be a release of that same power to bring elevation to our circumstances, our people that we love, our significant ones, our strangers that we meet by witchy place on a Saturday morning. And you know this, but I just want to speak to the part of you. And the part of me that will get up tomorrow and just might forget this. I go and when I get into work, I put the heating on and I go and look at this answer phone. And if there's a little red light, I sometimes go, there's a little, somebody wants me. Who wants me? And what do they want? Another piece of me almost. Well, that's not a good attitude. I'm strangling myself here. Philippians 3:10, we'll get there. Paul, imitate me like I imitate Christ. For my determined purpose is, I'm reading from the Amplified. For my determined purpose is, for my determined purpose is, for my determined purpose is, I'm determined, I have a purpose, and this is it, because I'm determined. And do you know why he's determined? Because there's a whole lot of gravitational pull out there that's just dragging us down every single day, isn't it? Yeah. We have an enemy who whispers and shouts and screams, and sometimes his whispers are worse than his shouts, aren't they? Yeah. Because when it's obvious, we go, Satan, away in Jesus' name. But when he sneaks it in with little half-truths, my determined purpose is that I may know him. Yeah. That I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him. This is a love song. This is a love poem. This is somebody who's caught a glimpse of the Saviour. And that glimpse was enough to get him besotted. That's all we need of Jesus, isn't it? That's all we need is a little glimpse. If God took his cloak off, so to speak, and revealed all his glory, bless you, revealed all his glory right now, we'd all just collapse, wouldn't we? We'd all just fall down as dead. We'd probably melt in a pool of stuff. And so Paul gets this glimpse and he says, right, I've got it now. I know it now. I'm singular. My face is set like flint. My purpose, my progress is him. I'm going after him because I've caught a glimpse of him. Monday morning when I get up, all I have to do basically is catch a glimpse of him. And then all the other stuff, you're out of my way. My determined purpose is that I may know him and that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly. Hang on. There's bad news. And that I may, in that same way, come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection, which it exerts over believers, and that I may so share his sufferings as to be continually transformed in spirit into his likeness. Hmm. It was going so well, wasn't it? You know what? The gospel, it was fantastic, this story. And then all of us, whoa, somebody pulled the carpet from underneath my feet. It's rats. Rats. It all's gone so good. There's no progress without process. And, we talked about the cross today. If the cross is not central, you're probably not preaching the gospel. If the cross is not central to our lives, we're probably, I'm being kind saying probably. Thank you. If the cross isn't central, it ain't the gospel. We want abundant life. Hands up for abundant life. Some went up. Thank you. Every 3 hands up. I want abundant life. But it's also called resurrection life. Isn't it? It's not just eternal life. It's not just abundant life. It's resurrection life. To get this abundant life, it seems to me, that we have to go through the cross. You're awfully quiet. Because God wants us not just to be in his image, but into his likeness. And it's that power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings to engage with that power of his resurrection, which is the process that makes us progress. I think this is good stuff. I'm going to say this again because it's funny to me. I'm probably preaching than you're better than you're listening. We all want the power of his resurrection. But that power of his resurrection comes by us fellowshipping with his suffering. I wish I could blank that little scripture out, but you can't. So amen or oh me. Purposefully, continuous and strategic struggle. John 17, 19 says this. Jesus said, "And for their sake and on their behalf, I sanctify, dedicate, and consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified, dedicated, consecrated, made holy in the truth." Jesus learned obedience by the things he suffered, even the Son of God. He set himself apart. He sanctified himself. He consecrated himself away, set apart. Stuff. Jesus had stuff. Stuff. Okay, I've got stuff. I'm setting myself apart. I'm consecrating myself. And winning and having victory over all that world, flesh, devil stuff. So that when he died and sent his spirit so he could live on the inside of us, we now have the ability to sanctify, to consecrate ourselves. Hands up, anyone who has an excuse. Put it down. None of us have any excuses. If we've got Christ, If we've got Christ on the inside, all of us have no excuse. We might have reasons for sometimes falling off the wagon. But really, we have no excuse because the same that raised Christ from the dead. 1 Thessalonians 4:3 says this, "This is the will of God, even your sanctification." Even your sanctification. Everyone listening to this podcast, Mike's mum. It's the will of God that we set ourselves apart, that we consecrate ourselves as temples of the Most High God. Hands up now. You can put your hand up now. Anybody ever had a stinky day? Thanks, Mark. Stinky days. You know, the Bible talks about us being a fragrance. Sometimes I'm just an odor. I have stinky days. Sometimes my days sometimes wander into a week. And then the world's not a safe place. I just try and keep a low profile as best I can. But I have to press through the stinkiness. And I have to get hold of this thing called the cross. And I have to go like that. I ain't letting go. Because I know beyond this, there's treasure. Beyond this holding on to this fellowship of his sufferings, God's doing something and I ain't getting off this. I ain't getting off till I'm dead. Because I want life. And that more abundant. I want that resurrection life. And sometimes we have to hang on, don't we? Yeah. We have to support each other to hang on, don't we? And we have to forgive each other when we have stinky days, don't we? Not looking at anyone right now. This is the Healing on the Streets manual. And this particular page is called Releasing the Holy Spirit, by Mark Marks, and he says, "There are areas of our life and character that can hinder the Holy Spirit from moving. Whenever the Holy Spirit highlights something in our life that is a hindrance to him, allow God to deal with it. This process takes time and involves obedience, honesty, and pain. But ultimately means experiencing more freedom for us and the Holy Spirit." And then he quotes Watchman Nee. "Life is as a grain of wheat, but there is a shell, a very hard shell on the outside. As long as that shell is not split open, the wheat cannot grow. The question is not whether there is life within, but whether the outside shell is cracked open." Did you come to church to be encouraged today? Process. Brokenness, Ailsa's testimony a couple of weeks ago just was so encouraging for all kinds of reasons, but me, because she spoke of process. She spoke of how she, in times past, detached herself from the process and got off the bus too early. But she spoke of a determined purpose, was this time with her dad, was to not give in and not give up and not give over, but to stay with the process, to get the progress. And I was really encouraged by that. And I think we should be all encouraged at the progress that we're making individually. We know him, don't we?
Yeah.
And the little bit that we know really whets our appetite to know him more, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And so we need to stay committed, don't we,
Hallelujah.
To the processes of God. You know, Christianity is not about is more about practice than performance. It's a lifestyle. And just before I close, I may as well just say this. Andrew last week brought a cool song to us, didn't he, by U2. I still haven't found what I'm looking for. And I've had this song earwigged in my mind. It's not that cool. Put your hand in the hand of the man who stilled the water. Put your hand in the hand of the man who calmed the sea. And I was going to share that this morning. I'm not now. Because it's quite trite, isn't it? But you know what? That's all I do every day. Sometimes I was telling Adrienne this. Sometimes I'll be driving the car, a worship song, and I'll just reach across to the empty seat and just squeeze. And sometimes in the office and sometimes in my bedroom, I'll just reach out and just... Am I crackers? And I'll just squeeze. And that's all we have to do.
Yeah.
Is keep tight hold of the hand of the man who stilled the water. We need to keep tight hold of the hand of the man who calmed the sea. This man from Galilee, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we have the honor and the privilege and the absolute pleasure of every day taking hold of his hand and go, oh, what are we doing today? Where are we going today, Jesus? What are we going to do today, God? Elevation. Danger, danger. God at work. Circumstances where we've never been before, where we might not even want to go. But the progress, the knowing him, is worth the hanging on, isn't it? and just like the snowman, just going for the ride, man. This is not a dress rehearsal.
No.
We don't get another shot. I'm digging into my hand here, because that's what I want. So, it's a lifestyle. Christianity is a lifestyle, a 24-hour-a-day lifestyle. Thus says the Lord, God, for us individually and as a fellowship, has new wine. I don't know what that means to you or us corporately, but I know God is saying, I have, Father God says to you, to us, I have new wine. My delay is not my denial. The process causes us to develop into new wine skins. His delay is his kindness. You know the story about the new wine in old wine skins. It cannot accommodate it. It will burst and both will be ruined. So I'm encouraging you today, the progress is new wine. The process is us. And I'm a stubborn, hard-hearted, stiff-necked, horrible person sometimes. Ask her. Ask yourselves. Anything to do with me? So I'm going to leave us with that, really, that God has new wine for us, each one of us. And he wants us to walk with him, hand in hand every day and submit and commit to the processes that he's putting on us. Now, don't get me wrong. Let's discern what is the world. Let's discern what is the flesh. Let's discern if we can cast this spirit out. But let us just in the main concentrate that God is at work in our lives and is causing us to change how we think, how we feel, how we decide, how we act and react, how we choose to be like him second by second of every horrible circumstance and day, so that we can know him and then accommodate this new wine, accommodate this new way, accommodate going to Spain, moving house, whatever. Yeah. That's what we want, don't we?
Yeah.
Okay, let's pray. Father God, I thank you, Lord God, that you're faithful.
Hallelujah.
When I kick and scream and pout and stamp my feet, you're just amazingly faithful. And kind and loving and committed to your work in my life. I pray for us all, Lord God, and us as a fellowship, Lord God, that you will continue as the potter to turn us and meld us and mold us into the vessels of honor and glory that you want us to be, so that we can hold, as it were, more of you, so we can facilitate more of your Holy Spirit flowing in and through us, Lord God, that we would be more than a breath of fresh air, but that we would bring power to bear upon this dying world, Lord God, these fallen people, these corrupt situations and circumstances. So, Father, let your word tabernacle amongst us, Lord God. Whatever's of me, Lord, just blow it away, but whatever is of you, let it tabernacle and develop and grow and be protected and kept, and change us, Lord God, change me, change us, Lord God, that you might be glorified and that your kingdom would come upon us and in us and through us in these days. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen.